Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Teach Me to Talk with Laura and Kate. I'm Laura Mize, pediatric speech-language pathologist.
And I am Kate Hensler. I'm a developmental interventionist with the First Steps program here in Louisville, Kentucky. How are you doing, Laura?
I'm great. How are you, Kate?
I'm doing well. It's Thursday, end of our
Yay!
Week.
Yeah, showtime. So
showtime
we're here.
Is good.
I know. It means the countdown is on for the weekend. But today's Thursday, October 15th, 2009, and it's 2 o'clock Eastern Time, so if you're listening now, you're listening to us live. And we are so excited about today's show because we have a caller already online. Welcome, Sean.
Hi, how's everyone doing?
Doing great.
Really, really good. And we are so glad that you were able to join us today. I got an email from Sean a couple days ago, and it was so great and so representative of the kinds of questions that I get. And it was so long that I thought, boy, I can write this lady a book back, or we can just ask her to be our guest on the podcast this week. And we are just both so excited that you're here with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
And don't be nervous, Sean. All we do is really chit-chat. You've listened to a couple of our shows, I think.
Yes,
so
I
you
have.
Know we're very informal.
I'm not sure we would know how to be formal if we even had to.
I know I wouldn't. Laura, you might be able to pull it off. But Laura and I, of course, work in the same program. And over the time, share kids. Sometimes we don't share the same kids, but we talk all day, every day about our kids. So when she suggested this podcast, she convinced me that it would be just like talking on her cell phone, which it pretty much is. So just think of it as a phone chat.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to read Sean's email to start. And, Sean, if you want to just jump in with details or if I just read it all the way through, and then we'll probably start after that by asking you some questions. But I'm just going to read it so we can make sure everyone's on the same page and kind of knows what we know about you already. But you start with saying, I'd like to tell you a little bit about my son, Anthony. He's 19 months old, born March 1st, 2008. He was born a month early but never had any early problems related to his birth. I've been concerned since he was under a year old. I started calling my state's early intervention program starting at 12 months after talking to his pediatrician. At 12 months, he was not really babbling. The occasional ba-ba-ba was not waving, did not answer to his name, and did not seem to understand what was said to him. Early intervention would not see him until 15 months, at which time he qualified for services. Services were closed for the summer, so we're finally starting speech, OT, and PT. The OT and PT are for, as they told me, his very hyper nature to help with speech and teaching me strategies to help with that. And the PT for his feet because they still turn in and he trips a lot. Since listening to your shows, I've seen a great deal of improvement. Thank you so much for that compliment. That means a lot to Kate and me. In the last 6 weeks, he's become so much more social and engaged with people. He babbles nonstop. He understands simple items and directions, imitates sounds he knows, and is much happier and with us in this world, not in his own. I did take all the batteries out of his push-button toys. Kate, you loved hearing that.
Yes, I did.
And now use one word in shortened sentences and repeat, repeat, repeat. And that's the part I really loved. Okay, and you say, although I have seen improvements, I know he's still delayed, maybe closer to a 12-month level, and I have a few questions. Okay, and these were awesome questions, and again, this is the reason we wanted you on the show. He can sign more, but not if I ask him if he wants more, but more spontaneously. For example, if he's playing with a toy and I put it away so we can leave, he will sign more because he wants it. But at dinner or snack or if I'm playing with him and he wants more, he just cries and reaches for it. I know he can do it, but not when he's asked, ever. How do I get him to use more often? When he wants my attention and can't get to me, especially in the tub or the booster seat, he looks at me and waits for me to notice him looking. No sound, just waits. Since I have an almost three-year-old, I sometimes barely catch his staring to see what he wants. How do I get him to verbalize for my attention? I would love a mama, but he would not, but would take any sound so that I don't, let's see, so I don't let him feel ignored. He imitates sounds he knows but will not imitate other sounds, nor will he imitate facial expressions. How can I get him to imitate those, or should I just keep focusing on the ones he knows? He likes to point to items, but only when he can point and touch. Anything far away or out of reach, he will not point. Then he just reaches and grunts or cries. How do I get him to point to objects not within his reach? Fourth question. He can make his lips kiss and will do it to get me to imitate, but when he gives me a kiss, even when I show him my kissing lip, he still only gives open mouth kisses. I know he can do it, but he won't copy me. Or when he brushes his teeth, he says, ah, but when I'm brushing his teeth and ask him to do it, nothing, no sound. As of now, he has no words, but sometimes I wonder. Like, for example, he'll tap his head to sing head, shoulders, knees, and toes. When he taps his head, he always says the same thing, kind of a short S sound. I wonder if he thinks he's saying head. Let me just stop right there. He's saying head, don't you think, Kate?
Okay. Yeah.
I do.
which then makes me wonder if I've missed other words in his babbling. Probably, but we'll get to that in a minute. And then you close it with, I know you're very busy, but I'd love some feedback. And then you say the best thing. I'm sorry about the length of this letter. I just worry so much about my precious baby boy. Aww.
And that's the truth.
Oh, well, yeah. Thank you so much, first of all, for writing us. And, again, we are so excited to be able to have you. One, because you're asking the same kinds of questions that I get all the time through email or on the website, and two, so that we can give you good answers to these questions rather than just kind of zipping through it as I'm in a hurry usually to respond. So let's kind of back up at the beginning now that our audience has listened to the whole thing and all of your questions and talk about him. You had him evaluated when he was
15 months old.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I wanted earlier.
Right.
They told me that, well, I first started calling at 12 months, and they always told me that I had to wait until he was 15 months.
What?
But I called everyone.
Out of curiosity.
What state?
Mm-hmm.
I'm in Michigan.
In Michigan. Is mm-hmm. that their policy? They don't take kids until they're 15 months?
They will take them for other reasons, but for just a speech delay, they wanted me to give him more time.
Oh.
They said he was young, and that was the only issue that I was calling about.
Okay.
Was
uh-huh.
a speech delay. And they said usually it's 18 months, but my daughter was in their program, so they would see him earlier. Her speech I had thought was delayed, but now with Anthony I realized she really wasn't as delayed as I had thought that she was. She understood everything anyone said, even from a very young age, whereas with Anthony, he's not there. And that's when I knew something wasn't right, wasn't working right, so that's why I kept calling. I called every month until finally... At 15 months, they said, okay, we'll have you come in, and we will talk with you, and we'll just see what's going on.
Because so we know you're not going away, so we guess.
And I wasn't. I wasn't going to go away. So when I went in, they, after meeting him and talking with me, they put him at a comprehension level, they told me, at about 6 to 10 months, mm-hmm. and a expression level at 6 to 9 months.
Okay.
And they had also some concerns about the way he was walking. Because he'd been walking for a few months, and even now, he's been walking now for about 6 months, but he still walks like he just learned.
Right.
So he's
toddling, kind of. His coordination just looks like it's not so great.
Right. And for as active as he is and how much of a climber and how busy, he moves a lot, but, yeah, he doesn't have that coordination down.
Right. Have they said anything about his muscle tone, Sean, like low muscle not tone
me.
Or anything?
Not right now. He's going to be evaluated again in December.
Okay.
So I don't know what they'll let me know then.
Right. And what does his physical therapist work on?
When he goes 2 days a week. On mm-hmm. Tuesdays for the first half hour, it's OT and PT and speech. They're all three together with him.
Uh-huh.
And they do a whole bunch of getting him moving, getting him walking on different things, crawling up things, picking up heavy balls, moving things, trying to get him to follow their direction on where to put things, but also get him moving because he's very active. So to have him just sit and do something, he doesn't go for that. And then the second half hour, because I'm there for an hour, they take him and that's him and another little boy, and they do some songs, some activities. They will do Play-Doh or they'll do a painting, and then they'll have a snack. He's not so good with the Play-Doh and the painting, though. He doesn't quite get the point, I guess.
Right.
So he has a hard time with that.
And so you just get center-based services. You don't ever have anyone come to your home?
No. During the summer, since they were closed, we did have a lady came by 3 times during the summer just to check in on us.
Uh-huh.
And that was there because they did not have any services in the summer. So they wanted to see, you know, meet him and just see so when school started, they'd be able to place him a little easier with the group.
Right.
But no one comes to my house on a weekly basis or anything.
So he doesn't get one-on-one with just one therapist. It's kind of...
On Thursdays, he gets one-on-one.
Okay.
That's with a speech teacher. He gets...
Okay.
And also, well, half-hour speech and then a half-hour with a play therapist, or I don't know if that's what her title is, but she is working on expanding his types of play.
Yeah, that would be a Kate. Okay. Okay. So that gives us a little bit of an idea of what he's getting services-wise. What did they tell you about him, Sean? What have their diagnoses been, for lack of a better word? Are they just calling him delayed, or have they mentioned other specific things going on? What have they said?
As of right now, they're just saying a delay.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I haven't sat down and talked with. They've only seen him a few times, so I haven't really sat down with them and talked about what they are seeing. I was kind of giving them more time to get to know
right.
him. But hopefully, I'm hoping at least by December that they'll have maybe something else to add to that. Because I'm a delay, I think there's a little more going on than just a delay. But I don't know. I'm not the the professional.
Oh, but you know him better than anybody
yes.
else.
Well, that I do.
Yeah, and you've had that other experience with your daughter, too. Now, let me ask you some questions about her. Did she get any type of diagnosis, or did she, how long did she have speech? Tell us a little bit about that kind of history.
I brought her in at around 20 months because she still maybe had about 10 words,
uh-huh.
and they evaluated her, and they put her in a different sort of program. They put her in a weekly group just for giving parents information and to have the children work with other children and work on saying, like, signing me and more and those kind of things. And she did wonderfully with that. And I'm going to say, by 6 months later, by the time she was a little over two, her vocabulary just soared. And
okay.
And after that, she really didn't even need to go, but they kept her in it. And they let me keep going. I think it then turned every other week.
Okay.
And it really, she didn't even need it after that.
But
something
she didn't
quick.
Get it. She didn't have an official diagnosis like apraxia
no.
or anything. Okay.
No.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's good. But they haven't given you any other diagnostic information. You know, they haven't said we're concerned about this or we're concerned about that. They just are treating it.
No, they have
like
not
delay.
Said anything to me.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Do you have any other history questions you want to ask about that, Kate?
Well, I suspect this may be the case, but I'll clarify it with you, Sean. Did they say anything about sensory issues? I mean, they have the OT in there, and when you say he's really busy.
They had me fill out a pamphlet, I guess it was
mm-hmm.
a little questionnaire.
Right.
On different things, but they haven't told me what that revealed about him, but they did say, like, when I first met him and he was doing some things and I told him, like, he likes different textures.
Mm-hmm.
He likes to go touch one floor carpet and then go and touch a different one. He knows it's different. Ooh, it's different over here. And they said, oh, that sounds kind of sensory. And let's get him
with
that. But they haven't come back to me yet with what.
And when you were talking about the Play-Doh and the paint before, that he's not really into that, it's not that he's avoiding those textures. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to him to play that way, right?
I don't think he's avoiding it because when he eats, he gets totally messy. It's in his hair. It's on his face. It's all over him. He is a mess.
I would
have care less.
Well, and I would have been surprised if you had said that was the case, because he sounds like a sensory seeker to me, because he's busy and active and climbing. And then what you just said about the carpet, you know, he really wants to kind of feel stuff and touch it. And I just wanted to clarify that you weren't saying that before about the Play-Doh or the paint, that he had kind of an aversion. Not that that would make any difference to us as far as advice we're going to give you about his communication, but it just kind of helps Kate and me understand him a little bit more.
Right.
Is he a decent eater? Does he eat a pretty good variety of things?
I used to say yes, but lately he's been getting a little more picky.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what he likes. And that's kind of what, I mean, he'll look at the things. If I put ranch on something, I'll try that now. You know, because that is ranch on it, so it's got to be good. But other than that.
There's nothing wrong with covering everything in ranch dressing if it gets him to eat it. That's my philosophy.
And usually he'll sit and he'll try it. If he doesn't like it, he'll let me know by pushing it off or just giving it to the dog.
Right.
So. But he eats lots of different textures.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Good deal. All right. And let's talk about how the progress in the last 6 weeks. You said he's become more social and engaged with people. So does that mean at the beginning he was just not very interactive with people? He wasn't really engaged with other people?
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
He had a lot of the push-button toys.
Uh-huh.
And he would really just kind of lose himself in the push-button toys.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was like, well, if I'm making dinner and that's what he likes to do, okay, you know, but fine, well, you do that and I'll make dinner. And then when I started reading from on your website and different things, and I'm like, yeah, you know, maybe that's not such a good thing that he's just doing this over and over. I mean, you would have thought that would have logically made sense, but it really takes someone else to point out that not such a good thing. So when I took all the batteries out, my daughter was also upset because she liked the toys also, just because some of them were her piano, little keyboard piano thing. But he would just sit and just want to hear it over and over and over. And as soon as I took those away, it was like he had to look, now what? You know, I mean,
yeah.
He took that away. What am I going to do? I guess I can play with you. I mean, you know, you're there. So it made him realize more that was happening around him and
actually look and
be like, hey, let's play with this and let's do that. So I saw a big difference just in doing that with him.
Good. So if any parent is listening in that similar situation, Kate and I always recommend that first when we go in and we see that a kid is kind of hyper-focused on that kind of stuff. And what you're saying happens to occur more often than not when they don't have that exclusive activity to do anymore, they do find other things to do and other more interactive and more social ways to play. So congratulations for doing that, because that's certainly something that if you were coming to us several weeks ago asking that, that's the first recommendation that I think we would have made. What is he doing like with little social games with you? Is he doing peekaboo with you? Okay, good.
Yeah.
And did he do that or is that new?
He did it most of the time. He would do it. What sticks out most in my mind is in the bathtub, because he would take the shower curtain and move it in front of him and hide himself and then move it away. So he did that even at about, I remember it at 10 months, but I don't know if it was earlier than that or not. But in the bathtub, he didn't have any of those toys. He didn't have that, so I was there.
Let me ask you about this. Does he, when he does that with you, is he excited when he sees you? Is he really into that game? It's not just about moving the shower curtain in front of his face.
Oh, no. He laughs, he giggles, his eyes are all happy. I mean, he's just a very happy into it. He likes
Okay, good.
Play.
Good. And he has more than one little game that he plays like that with you now? You can do some other little games and things like that with him, or sing some little songs or do
he
some
loves
other
songs.
Okay.
He's very song motivated. So like the head, shoulders, knees and toes, or if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. This little piggy. He likes to point to his toes. For Twinkle Twinkle, I open and close my fist.
Uh-huh.
So he knows, Twinkle Twinkle, he'll do that with me. He loves songs. So any kind of song that I sing gets his attention.
Okay.
And you said he'll touch his head with head, shoulders, knees, and toes. Does he do his hands to tell you to do Twinkle Twinkle? Or if you're doing it, will he try and do it with you a little bit? Or
if I'm doing it, he'll try to do it with me.
Okay.
He used to play a game where he would start touching his toes, mm-hmm. and then I'd start singing this little piggy, and then he would do the twinkle twinkle to get me to switch songs.
Oh.
So I'd switch songs, and then he'd see that I switch, and he'd go, oh, and he'd touch his toes again.
Oh.
Like, okay, now switch again. Okay, and now go back. So he likes to do, see what I'm going to do when he does a certain thing. So he knows it's going to make me sing a different song, and it makes him excited.
I find it so cute when they understand that you'll change it. Like, look what I could make my mommy do.
Power, power, power. Yeah.
That's right. Well, those are all very good things that he will.
Yeah, go ahead, Kate. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say he will, you know, initiate some of that and play along with you, and you see a big response in his eyes. And you talked about his eyes. I always say that their eyes twinkle, and if they really are responding, you do see that. They just really light up, and you can say, oh, absolutely, he loves it. So those are all very good signs that those things are pretty intact.
And speaking of signs, him touching those toes and doing his little hands like twinkle, twinkle, that's signing, Sean. So,
oh.
I mean, when you're counting his little list of signs or what he can do, if he's able to take his little hands and do that like twinkle, twinkle, I would count that sign as twinkle, twinkle, wouldn't you, Kate? And
yes.
Think about that as a sign, because
mm-hmm.
that's a gesture. Yeah, that's a gesture that he's using. And, you know, since he's so into music, boy, I would come up with some little hand sign or gesture or some little motion from the song for lots of those little songs or lots of those little routines that he already likes with you, because obviously that's a way for you to motivate him to want to continue to interact with you. And again, he's gotten that whole, oh boy, look, I do this and look what mommy does. You know, he's got that piece. So I would so build on that. So if you're taking notes or, you know, mentally or even writing these kind of things down, that's one thing you need to do when we get off the phone today, is think about all the songs that he likes and the beginning little motion of that, or whatever motion he can do of that. That needs to be your sign for that song, and you need to incorporate those, having him do that to initiate that song with you. And when he was learning how to do his hands for Twinkle Twinkle, did you help him try to make that hand motion, that close your fist and open it up for Twinkle Twinkle, or did he just kind of imitate that on his own?
He imitated that on his own. I did it for a while, and so he saw me doing it and doing it and doing it, and then just one day he's like, oh, well, you know, I can do that too. And he just did it.
Yeah, that's great. And so that's one thing I would do with other songs or other little routines you have, is start to do it that way. And sometimes, not often, but sometimes kids really will kind of go into signing that way. You can kind of get in the back door, you know, with signs, is start to use it for songs, and again, or something that they're really, really motivated by, rather than thinking about it in a more traditional way, like using more or something else. Kate, do you have another thought on that?
Not really. I mean, I think that's all good advice, and just keep building on it. If you have a source for any other, I know Laura has some. We always do Ride a Little Horsey a lot. Do you know that one, Sean?
I do Tony Boy, is what I call. Well, one similar to that. He bounces on my lap.
Right.
It's Tony Boy, won't you be my Tony Boy? And I sing it, but I sing it to him. I don't say it. And he likes that.
Well, I would continue to build on your repertoire of those simple little songs. And as Laura says, always pair it with as simple a gesture as you can that kind of makes sense, you know, if you're doing hand gestures with the song or whatever it is. You know, the more of those he knows, the better, because he likes them and they're very motivating to him. So use that natural interest and continue to build on it, really.
Yeah, I would totally do that. Let's get back to signing more, which was your first big question. And this is so interesting to me that he will sign, let me read exactly what you say. You say, he can sign more, but not if I ask him if he wants more, but more spontaneously. For example, if he's playing with a toy and I put it away so we can leave, he will sign more because he wants it. Oh, that is so funny that he won't do it other times, but you put it away and, oh my gosh, here come the little fingers, more, more, more. Now, is he doing it with his fingers or is he clapping for more?
He has a couple different ways he does it. It's either one finger against his palm or two fingers together, or he even does it the traditional way for more.
Yeah, the one finger against the palm. Yeah, lots of kids do that one finger against the palm. We see that all the time, don't you think, Kate?
Absolutely, and I always, as I tell parents that, when I'm first talking about using simple signs in the beginning, I'll show them that and I'll say, I don't know why so many kids do this. There's got to be some specialty out there who can tell us why that is, because to me, it's not that close, you know.
But it's pretty universal because lots of kids do
right.
it. Right.
So there is something that makes, you know, sense of that. I just don't really understand it. But all I can say is that's very common. And so do you continue to sign it with your fingertips together, Sean, or do you use that sign?
I sign it the traditional way for more.
Okay.
That's how I do it for him.
And I would keep doing it that way because obviously he knows what you mean since he's able to do it.
Right.
You know, I think when with a kid, and this is my read on this, Kate, and I don't know that we've ever talked about this, but this will be a good chance as any to talk about it. I think sometimes when you have what a kid wants right in front of them, especially at the beginning when they're a new signer, they can't think about anything except reaching and grabbing what you want. So to try to entice them to sign more, sometimes it's more frustrating than more frustration than they can even take. So I will kind of put it behind my back or do something to help them kind of get their visual focus off that so that they can pause to sign more. And sometimes it's just so in the heat of the moment they get too mad before they can even, you know, think, oh, my goodness, I know how to sign this. I know how to say it, you know, or even for kids who know how to say it, they get so distracted by, oh, I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it, that they can't even stop to kind of do whatever we're asking them to do for it. So I think what I would do in that situation is really, and if he, and especially since he doesn't, you know, do it unless it's kind of put away, I would start acting like you're going to hide those things or put it away to see if that will entice him to sign more a little bit. Is that what you would do, Kate, in that situation?
I think so. I will say I've had some kids, and Laura and I are big fans of using usually junk food, really, snacks, for, you know, getting kids to sign very early on and sometimes as therapy progresses. But I've had some kids who get so worked up, it's almost like, you can't deprive me of food. You know, it's just those kids who really love food, sometimes that can be almost too emotional for them. And
right.
So, but you also say he doesn't really do it if he's playing. I ask him if he wants more. I wonder if you're doing, you know, This Little Piggy or any of the other, you know, the Peekaboo or Twinkle Twinkle, if you stick in more and try and get him to sign it with that, do you get it then, or?
I've never tried to have him sign it when I'm singing songs and things like that.
I would really, really work it in there because you know he really likes those and he's using gestures with those activities anyway. And if you've looked at Laura's website, I'd suggest you look at some of her clips from her DVDs and stuff so you can see how really, really, really playful she is with that and exaggerated. To let him know this is a game, this is fun, just do it with me and you'll get more. But just to work, you know, do one little verse and then stop and kind of look at him expectantly. And if he looks at you and does his hands for Twinkle or touches his toe, you say, oh, you want more, and give him the single, you know, the symbol, the sign, and see if you can't work it into those social routines, because it sounds like many little kids his age, he's really into the, you know, the little songs and the playful gestures, and I would work it in there and see, because it would be a logical thing for him to do, and I kind of do that anyway. I kind of work that into anything that's motivating for kids at this age, but most kids at this age are motivated by those movement things and the song things, and so I would definitely work it in a lot into those things. See if he won't give it to you then.
You know, and the other reason that I think that's so effective then is because it's not like an object that you can give him, so he doesn't then lapse into crying or grabbing or reaching for it at that point. You know, it's not object-based. So that makes a lot of sense to work on it then. But I would keep doing it with your other stuff, and like Kate said, just hype it up a little bit so that he's gets more excited and it seems more fun rather than him lapsing right into, or whatever it is, you know, that he does to get that. Yeah, and some kids, I think, get so radar-focused on, you know, it's like they just lock their little eyes and their little intent on, I'm going to, you know, rip that cheese ball out of your hand. No way am I going to stop to pause to do a sign or say a word. You know, I'm just super focused on what I want. So they can't stop themselves, but when you do it with the social things, you already have them happy, and they're already used to it not being about a thing. You know, it's about the activity. So that's a great idea.
Let me ask you also, if you are trying to get him to do it, whether it's with food or, you know, some kind of playful thing, if you take his hands and kind of help him sign it, how does he respond to that?
Usually not too well. He's taking his hands to make his hands do something he doesn't want them to do.
Okay.
Even though he can, no, usually not a good thing.
Okay.
You know, and I would keep doing some of that just so that he gets used to more of that hand-over-hand assistance. But, again, you're going to want to make it really, really fun and really, really playful so he doesn't get so mad when you start to do it. And there are a couple of clips on my website when you're looking at the DVD stuff. And you can see, you know, kind of how to do that and kind of how to help them. And but you're looking, you know, you're smiling, you're making it real fun, you're sounding like, oh, come on, come on, come on, so that it's not the pressure of I'm going to make you do the sign whether you like it or not. So, you know, you're going to, again, like Kate said, you know, keep it real up and real bubbly and kind of go. And that was more the only sign you're trying right now?
Yes.
Okay. The other thing I would do is move on. Okay. Sometimes that first one or two that you try, they kind of get too negative about that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I know that he's doing more. Boy, he can pull it out when he really needs it, like when he thinks that you're really going to leave and not let him play with that toy. But I would kind of move on a little bit because sometimes it's just the first one or two that you've tried. Some kids in the very beginning get a little bit negative about that. And so if you move on and do it with something else, what does he like to, what
well,
does
you know
he
what?
Really
I
like to play with?
I also do milk.
Okay.
But he likes to play with a block, the stacking rings, sorting the shape sorter.
Okay. So things that he likes, I would go ahead and come up with another, you know, with other signs for those too.
Oh, okay.
And kind of move on a little bit because, and the reason I say this is he's doing some of those like twinkle, twinkle. He can do that little motion for that. So you might try, you know, kind of opening and closing your hands or something similar for the sign for bubbles, you know, and look at what he can already do and what he's already sort of using when you do your little songs and think, okay, what's another really similar sign? And, again, you don't want to get too many signs that are too alike so that when he starts doing it, you think, oh, my goodness, does he want me to sing Twinkle Twinkle or does he want to do bubbles? You know, you do want to kind of differentiate a little bit. But if you keep it kind of a similar motor movement, then you know he can, he's capable of doing it. So you can... you can kind of piggyback them like that. But I would try with other toys and things that he likes too. The sign for blocks, do you know that one, Sean?
No, I don't.
You put your hands up in front of you like with your fingers together but your thumbs touch, and so you're kind of making a block with your hands, you know, with the bottom of how you're, you know, you hold both hands in front of you and touch your thumbs, but your other fingers are together. That's a sign for block. And to learn more signs, if your therapists aren't really teaching you those in sessions, now, do you go in the room with him when you're when he's in therapy, or do you just watch?
I'm in there with him.
Okay, good. Well, you can, I'm sure you're picking up signs that way, but there's also a sign language category on the website at teachmeashot.com, and you can learn lots of other ones there. But block is an easy one to do, and, you know, a lot of kids can do that one pretty easily, you know, stick those little thumbs together. So that would be, I would try it with some other toy kinds of things too, because it may be that the food is just making him too mad.
Okay.
And I have had, I mean, some kids respond great to using food, and other kids get mad. I learn, okay, then use it with the movement sing-song stuff, or use it with some cool toy that he really loves, or, you know, I might still, and I will say that it seems to me that so many kids I work with are the most sensitive to that hand-over-hand stuff from their mothers. It's almost like, you can't make me do it. You're my mom. You have to feed me, you know.
Right, yeah.
I've seen a lot of kids that their parents or one little boy I'm working with now, the grandmother's frequently there, and she says, but she watches them quite a bit, so she's almost like a mom because she sees them a lot. But this little guy apparently gets really mad if his mother or his grandmother do hand over hand with him, and he'll pretty much let me do it the whole hour. And she's sitting there saying, I cannot believe he'll just let you. Like, he acts like, you know, they're going to rip his hands off, and with me, he'll just. So. You know, understand that it is common that with moms that seems to be even more difficult. So see if you can't get dad to help, or maybe your daughter who's 3 or however old she is, to do that with him sometimes. Because somehow it's even harder when it's mom. So if you have anybody else who's in his little life that can, who's going to play with him anyway or give him some attention, see if he isn't a little bit more tolerant of the hand-over-hand from them. because sometimes moms, you know, you're very special to him and he does not want to be forced to do it by you. But and I also think if you do put him in the playful sing-song routines that you're already using, you know, he may respond a lot better to that. So use it that way, but also use other people because mom is a hard one sometimes to change the routine.
I completely agree with that. And do your therapist do hand over hand with him, like with helping him sign? Okay, good. And they are more tolerant of that with them?
Yeah, he is.
Or he's more tolerant with them? He is?
Yeah,
okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay, see, there's Kate's point. There you
go. Yep.
Yeah. So use anybody else that's going to be, you know, whether it's their grandmother or their dad or their sibling or whoever it is, if they're going to be paying attention to them anyway, say, hey, you know, have them sign more, help them sign more, whatever they're doing. A lot of little kids that age are really, really thrilled about any attention or interaction they have with an older sibling. And I don't know, sounds like your little girl, you know, is doing very well at this point, and she may be a real good little role model for him to, you know, remind her when she signed more and have her working with him on that too, because a lot of times that's the most motivating thing is just an older sibling. It's just really cool when they do it. So,
you know, and I use siblings a lot like that in therapy. So, Sean, if you're going to do have a little snack time and you may have your daughter sit there, you know, all three of you sit on the floor and have her sign more or have her sign cookie or whatever, and then you make a big deal about her doing it. Yay, she did it! And then giving her the cookie or giving her, you know, whatever snack you're eating and letting him see her get rewarded for that and you two being so excited and so playful with it. You know, that works a lot. So that would be another idea, another way to get him to do it with food without him being so upset that he's not, that you're not giving it to him right away.
All right.
Okay.
I was going to stop you, Laura, and just say, okay, so we talked about, she uses milk, which is great. She uses more. What other little signs would you recommend, Laura?
Signs for whatever he really likes. Like if he, like we, I asked her about blocks, you know, what other things he really likes to play with. Lots of little boys love trains, and choo-choo is a really easy one to do because you're just going to do like you're pulling that little fake whistle down, woo-woo, you know, you stick your arm up in the air and kind of do it that way. That's an easy one to do. That's one I like to do from the beginning. I like please, and I go to please if a kid really can't or won't do more, and please is just rubbing your chest with one of your palms open. So that's a sign that I really like, and it's all-purpose, kind of like more is. So that's one that I do all the time. Will he do eat or drink? A little hand to his mouth? That's one I do fairly quickly. Kate, can you think of any others you would like to suggest?
I was going to say eat, and the other one that I use a lot early on, especially with little boys, is go.
Yeah.
And the way I do that, I don't know if you do it exactly the same or not, Laura, but I do it, I take both of my thumbs out, you know, like, I don't know what that sign is, but if you make a ball out of your fist and then you stick your thumbs up, and I say, ready, and then I put my thumbs down, put my index fingers out, set, and both of your, you know, your index fingers are out kind of in front of your body, and then I twirl my hands around and round, go, and lots of little kids get that, and I just think that that's a good one because boys love to go, you know, and I use that a lot with either a toy that goes, whether it be some kind of truck or car, or I'm going to roll them a ball, and then the other way I use it, if I'm having them go, I might use that with, I do ride a little horse that I can't remember. Yours was Johnny or something like that. Tony?
Tony, yeah.
Yeah, your horsey routine or any kind of movement things. If you're having him jump off the couch to you or if he's you're playing tag and you're going to run, I kind of hold him back and say, oh, we forgot to say go. Ready with your thumbs up. Set with your index fingers out. Go! And I have a lot of little kids who kind of look like they're kind of punching. It's very cute when little boys do that anyway, and they seem to like it. It's like, bam, bam, bam. But it's pretty easy for them to do, and, I, you know, for sure we are not at all picky about how close they come to doing exactly, as long as, you know, he's kind of flailing his little hands. Woohoo, he signed it. Go! And I,
okay.
you know, reward that, just like you do with the Moor when he does his index finger to the open palm. That's fine. You know, we just want him to respond in some way and indicate, yes, I like that. Let's do some more. So I like go because boys just love to go. And I usually try and get dads to do that with them early on, because dads tend to be the ones who really get them going, you know. we're calming them down, and they're throwing them up in the air. So I say, okay, if you're going to throw them up in the air, then you have them sign go before you do that. And again, since the little kid boys love that, it's really highly motivating for them. And if they think all they have to do is kind of give that little punch thing and they get to do it again, they'll usually do it again. So okay. I like go, and like that, it's very easy to use with kind of almost anything you're doing with them, as far as any kind of, if there's movement involved. And so often what they like does involve some kind of movement, whether you're moving them or you're moving the truck or you're moving, you know, there's always something where you could make it go make sense. So
yeah.
We're very liberal about how we use our signs. If we can work it in, we do.
That's good. That's a good one. I use that a lot, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's move on to our second question, because I cannot believe we only have 20 minutes left.
Okay.
Okay, in the second part, the second little paragraph of your questions, when he wants my attention and can't get to me, for example, if he's in the bathtub or the booster seat, he looks at me. So what does he do when he can't get to you? Does he come over and take your hand and lead you, Sean? Is that what he does?
No, if he wants something, for example, when he wants milk, he just goes to the fridge and
okay.
he cries, and then he looks at me and then he cries.
Okay.
Or if he wants
okay.
like a bath, he'll go to, you know.
Okay, so he's looking at you when he's doing it. He's not just looking at the fridge like it's going to magically open. He does get that he needs to look at you, right?
Yes.
Okay, what does he do if you don't go right away and do that? Does he fall apart? Does he try to come get you? What does he do?
He will just cry louder and louder,
okay.
and then I think I've never actually let him go any farther, but you should probably, I don't know if he'd come and get to be honest.
Okay. Okay, I was just asking. It doesn't, you know, I was just asking what he does. So your question is, you say, let's see, no sound, he just waits. Since I have an almost three-year-old, I sometimes barely catch his staring to see what he wants. How do I get him to verbalize for my attention? I would love a mama, but would take any sound so I don't let him feel ignored. You know, the signs are going to be good for that. Learning to say mama, there's an article on the website about that. It's I don't know if you've read that one yet. It's Teach Your Child to Say Mama. It's in the expressive language section. But, you know, it really talks about that there are three reasons that a kid may not be able to say that or use that communicatively. One, they haven't made the conceptual connection that mama means you. And so you have to kind of teach it in a way that it makes sense. And I'm sure that you're saying, you know, give it to mama. Here's mama. Do you want mama all day long? But somehow he hasn't quite linked that. Like if dad were to ask him, where's mama, would he look at you and smile?
No.
Would he light up? Okay. So then you've really got to kind of teach that that's your name. And the best way that I've found to do that is by, you know, playing what I call the mama game, and that's where you're really going to hide. And he already likes that hiding thing, because you said, you know, like behind the shower curtain or mm-hmm. with peekaboo. So you're going to really want to use that and have someone else play with you, your little girl or dad, and they really need to model saying, mama, 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 and then you jump out like it is just the most exciting thing that I've ever happened, and say, you know, boo or mama is what I usually have moms try to say, because you really want to help him conceptually learn that's your name, and to get you to come out or to get your attention, that's what he has to do, is say that word. So take a look at that article for some other ideas with how to teach mama. Sometimes kids can't say mama yet because they can't, you know, physically do the M sound. So there's some other ideas in that article about helping kids be able to learn how to put their lips together to say M. Now, does he use an M sound for any other thing?
He uses it in just his babbling. I don't know if it means what it's standing for, but yes, he can say.
Okay. Okay, so he can physically say it. One other way that I get kids to really start to use kind of a it's like when you're doing snacks and you really, you know, emphasize that it's yummy and you do the so that kind of, again, is a way to teach the sound, but you said you've already kind of heard that in his babbling. So that's one way that you can teach him to say mama and use mama so that he knows that it's really meaningful for you. Sometimes with kids, if they won't say or do anything, you know, you do kind of model the little grunt sound, but then sometimes I think, oh, boy, I can't believe I'm teaching this because I know in 6 months that's going to be driving this mom absolutely batty. But it is kind of that little first little indication that they do learn to use words or vocalizations to communicate and that it's powerful and that they can use their little voices to get something. So if that's not going to drive you crazy, you could really kind of start to model some of that. When you're going over to open the refrigerator or any little thing that you would want, you know, hold your hands out like you're doing the gimme fingers or the like you want it, you know, and do the But again, that you want that to be short-lived. You do want it to move on to words. And I know other therapists are probably hearing me say this and say, oh, my gosh, I can't believe she would suggest that because that's kind of a hard habit to overcome. But for kids who don't get that, gosh, I have to use my voice to do that, that sometimes is an in-between step you kind of have to teach.
Okay.
Kate, do you want to talk about that one anymore before we move on? I feel like I'm rushing now, but I want to answer all their questions before we're out of time.
Well, let's move through, and if we double back, that'll be okay.
Okay. Let's see. He imitates sounds he knows. So what sounds is he imitating that he knows, Sean?
He does know a lot of different sounds, and he's picking up new ones all the time, like just random sounds. But the bubba, the da-da, he likes on nine-nine. Makes a weird sound like that. He says E, he says ah.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Are you doing that just as a little vocalization game, or are you pairing those with actions?
He just says them, so I just repeat them.
Okay. Anything that you've heard him do, you know, okay, physically he can make the sound, so you have got to that day try to get it in a word and try to make it meaningful in a word. And that's why when Kate and I hear other speech therapists say, well, we're working on building his sound repertoire first, we just go bananas about that. Because the reason we make sounds is that we get them in words, and so we do everything we can to facilitate words and not necessarily facilitate sounds. So I wouldn't stop doing that, you know, vocalizing or turn-taking or, you know, little game that you're playing. But I would think, okay, buddy, you've said E when I've heard you today, so guess what? We're making that eat, and we're making that in this word, and this is going to mean something to you now. So you've got to be sure that you're what you're hearing, Sean, that you take and that your therapists are helping you do this, and that you take it and you know, okay, gosh, we can turn that into a word. And so with, you know, the da-da or da-da, you're making that da-da. So you're thinking, oh, let's get da-da. There he is, da-da, da-da. And then da-da has to come play. You know, you've got to help him make that connection between I can say this sound and, oh, boy, that's a word. Don't you agree with that, Kate?
Absolutely, yeah. And it is a good thing that he's able to imitate sounds and that you're doing that back and forth, but I would agree, because whenever I hear a child that age babbling, I think, okay, it's in there. Let's give it meaning. Let's make it meaningful and purposeful for you. And I'd do the eat with the E, and I'd also probably do we with the E, even though I'm adding a W sound on the front there, because I use that all the time with things that fly, or if I take a kid and twirl them around, I say, wee! And so, okay, he's got two words based on that E sound there, and I totally agree that I would take dada. If he's babbling that, it's in there. If he isn't yet responding to where's mama, then he probably hasn't connected the dada with dada either, and right. So you really have to make it, you know, so repetitive that he knows, oh, that's dada, you know, that's why that's so meaningful, and same with mama, and same with any other sound that he really has. I'm trying to think what else.
So instead of waiting for him to maybe say, this is what it is, for me to say, oh, you made that, this is what, and show him.
Right.
Yes.
Let's help him get, okay, got
right.
Yes, and, you know, you're going to have to, again, you're drawing the line between A and B.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he may not, he doesn't know that dada means dada yet, kind of based on what you've said. So you got to help him make that connection. And that's what we mean when we say he's conceptualizing words. You've got to show him that those sounds can actually mean something and help him kind of make that connection there, because you know that physically he can do it. So you're going to really want to prompt tons of words when you're doing those signs and things. And I wouldn't do lots of extra talking when you're doing all of that either, Sean. You're going to really, you know, when you're saying, let's say you're using the word more and you've heard him do M in babbling, you know, you're not going to say, you tell mommy that you want more crackers. You got to tell me that you want more right now. You got to come on, use your words. I want to hear you say more. You're just going to say more, 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 you know, and really keep it at that single word level so that you're not, so that he knows which words to pick out. And I think that you talked about that already. Now you're using lots of single words and lots of shortened
mm-hmm.
sentences. But, you know, you're going to want to make that even more exaggerated or amplified when you're kind of helping him make the connection between the sounds that he said and turning that into a word.
Okay.
Let me ask you, I meant to ask this early on. You said that he's following some commands for you now and some. What kinds of things will he do on request for you?
Bring me his shoes. If I ask him to take a bath, he'll run to the bathroom door and get all excited. If I ask him if he wants milk, he'll run to the fridge as a response.
Okay.
Yes, I want it. It's in the fridge. I know where it is.
Okay.
Brush his teeth, wash it. More routine things that we do every day.
Right.
Okay, good.
But those are
yeah.
all good things that, you know, he's obviously picking up the meaning. And I would say, well, if he can get bath and he can get, do you want milk and get your shoes, he can certainly get mama and dada. It's that you haven't probably been as repetitive about it or as focused on it. And, you know, if you make it playful and fun, just like the bath is great and getting his milk is great and getting his shoes is great because he gets to go, 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 then you can make mom and dad there really playful and fun, and he'll link the meaning and before too long be popping out those words. So, but that's great that he has that much variety in, you know, what he responds to as far as verbal stuff, so.
And you're going to want to keep building on that because he's got – and those are all things that are fairly new for him, right, Sean? Those are things
yeah.
he's just learned to do in the last few weeks. Yeah. So you're going to need to keep building that language comprehension, or speech pathologists refer to that also as receptive language, what he understands. You need to keep building that because there's no way he's going to be able to say something that he doesn't quite understand or make the link with. And we know that you're probably, like Kate said, going to have to help him make that connection between, like, saying and linking mama and dada, because if he hasn't already gotten that, just from kind of picking it up from, you know, everyday use, you know that you're going to need to be pretty deliberate about how you teach that and what you teach, and that, you know, it may really take, okay, he doesn't understand this word because he's not responding to this direction with this, or he doesn't realize that his sister's name is whatever. You know, you have to be very deliberate about teaching those things. And again, for lack of a better word, that just means that you're going to repeat, 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 and keep making it fun and keep helping him link that meaning. The next one's about pointing. He likes to point to items, but only when he can point and touch. Anything far away or out of reach, he won't point. Then he just reaches and grunts or cries. How do I get him to point to objects not within his reach? And you're really talking about how to get him to point communicatively, right, so that he can show you what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
Kate, do you want to take a whack at that, or do you want me to talk about that?
Well, I'll start out and you can finish up. I would say initially, first thing, and you may already be doing this, but I'm going to spit it out there. One thing I do early, early, early on with kids who don't get pointing is use it a whole lot with them so that I'm constantly pointing to things, whether it be something off in the distance or something that I have in my hand or some place that I want him to look. And so that, you know, I'm hoping, oh, he's going to get this pointing thing. And generally, you know, in some varied amount of time, they do come around and get it. But I wonder if that's something that you've been doing so far, is that you're really pointing a lot with him.
I point a lot, and if I say look and I point,
mm-hmm.
he'll look at my hand, and then he'll look, and he'll realize that I am pointing to something. so he'll look to see where I'm pointing at.
Well, that's good. I mean, that
he won't, but he won't point to anything.
He doesn't do it. Okay.
No. Well, it sounds like he's just kind of at that in-between phase, and that he will start to do that. Because if you've already gotten him reaching and pointing, you mean he'll point to like things in books already?
Mm-hmm. Or on my face, he'll point to different things on my face.
Yeah. Well, it just sounds like it's just right, he's on the verge of doing that. And so
does it matter how he points?
What do you mean?
Is he not isolating his finger?
Right. It's a full, all his hand is open, but his one finger comes down and he points. Like his fist isn't closed. It's a whole-handed thing.
Yeah, you know, I would just say that he just hasn't mastered it yet. And you can, when you were sometimes with kids like that, Kate, I don't know what you do, but I grab the rest of their fingers and close them.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing, and really kind of hold those fingers there closed while that one index finger is out. Some kids will try to point weird, like point with their thumbs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, I just grab their little hands and have them do it. And I know he hates it when you kind of help him do that stuff. But again, you know, use dad, use sister. You know, I'm sure his therapists are helping him do that.
Mm-hmm.
An OT a long time ago taught me about you put whatever you want them to point to. You know, you like put a dot on it. Or today I was hearing another therapist talk about that she puts putty or something like Play-Doh on things, and that's really effective in helping kids isolate their index finger and learn to touch it with that one finger, and then you gradually pull it away from them. Like as they're reaching for it, like they're going to think they're touching it with their index finger, and you pull it away so you get a point kind of that way.
Okay.
I think he's just, again, having a hard time deciding that that's a real purposeful communicative movement and is just going to need some help doing that. And that would be a good question for your OT.
Okay.
And to talk about your OT about how to do that, don't you think, Kate?
Yeah. Yeah. I've also seen things, you know, I usually do it with pictures in a book, show me something on the puzzle, and I really tend to kind of do what Laura said, you know, kind of squish little fingers in and say, no point. I don't have long nails. Laura has pretty faux nails, but I kind of have nails, and I tap on things a lot to, you know, to kind of get their attention to hopefully get the concept across that I'm using just my index finger. But little tricks like if you had a little pill bottle and you put a Cheerio in it, see if you can't get him to reach down in with his finger to yank that out, or stick something small in a ball of Play-Doh and squish it down and see if you can't get him to do the same thing where he's just got his index finger out to push. How about like if you give him a button book, you know, I wonder what you call it, like a book that has buttons that push, and I know we say take the batteries out, but sometimes I do leave the batteries. You know, it's a Thomas book, or it's Laura and I have one that's just early words and real big pretty pictures, and there's a cat and a dog and that sort of thing, and then there's a button that you push. How's he going to push a button to activate it?
He'll still do it the same, try to do it the same way with his
open
one finger, but open-handed.
Uh-huh.
And that really, I know Kate hates it when I call everything motor planning, but that's motor planning. He hasn't learned I need to close my fist, and that's how everybody else in this world points. You know, he's just locked into that little open-handed pattern with pointing, so you need to talk to your OT about that.
Okay.
And again, the ideas that Kate gave you were great. We are down to 1 minute. I cannot believe it. But listen, I think the things that we've given you to work on, you're going to have some nice things to build on at home, especially with what we talked about at the beginning with those social routines and things. And so that's where I would focus my attention with that and with signs. And because you were so gracious and called in, Sean, I want to send you a couple of my DVDs for free as a way to kind of thank you. So I want to send you Teach Me to Talk. Oh, you're welcome. And then I want to send you either, I think I'm going to send you Listen and Obey too, because that's going to help you, give you some additional ideas how to work on some really specific vocabulary things to help him expand what he understands.
Mm-hmm.
And then so I want you to send me, when we're off air, I want you to send me another email with your address so that I can get those shipped out to you. And I may ask you some more questions and decide if I'm going to send you that Apraxia DVD too. So.
Okay.
Thank you so much for sharing your child with us today, and your questions were wonderful, and we just loved having you on. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I learned a lot.
And it wasn't scary at all, was it?
No, not at all.
It's just like talking on your cell phone in the car.
That's right.
Thanks. So Oh, you're welcome. And we would love to hear from any other mom out there. If you want to be on the podcast and are scared about what your questions would be or how we would answer those, do what Sean did. Send us an email. Let me get a chance to email back and forth with you. And, again, we love moms. These are our very favorite shows. And this is why we do the show and why I did the website and why I filmed the DVDs. It's to be able to help you teach your own kid to talk, because nobody knows your kid like you do. Not even we fancy schmancy therapists, huh, Kate?
Yeah, right. Don, keep us informed, you know, over the next number of months how he's doing and what's going on, and we'd love to hear if our things worked and what else is working for you and how things are going, okay?
I definitely will. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, Kate, I hope we can get our other guests that we talked about last week on when it
and
fits in the
schedule. Here we were worried we wouldn't last an hour, and we could have gone for another 2 hours, I do believe.
I think we could have, too. I hope she got some ideas that she can use, and I hope if therapists are listening, we gave them some additional ideas we could use. And speaking of therapists, we would absolutely love for you to call in as well with your ideas or send us emails and tell us what you would like for us to do a show on. We feel like we've done a lot in the last year. We'd love some new ideas, wouldn't we, Kate? So call us or send us your ideas or things you want to hear us talk about, and we would just love to address that here on air. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Talk to you later.
Okay, talk to you later. Bye.